This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, please be seated and let us put our hands together to welcome Pastor Lee Kai.
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon. I hope to borrow what just now Richard said in the beginning of the worship. Yeah, because of the church camp, I don't have time to prepare my sermon. Let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us here. After the camp, the Lord, we heard a lot, and right now we want to hear from you again. To prepare our heart to be tender, to receive your word, so that we can respond to you by faith. Whatever you say, the Lord, you want to act on it. Let us hear you. May you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme for today is a grateful heart. I just add on one liner. It's the only one who came back. The church camp ended and not all came back. Some left, still left there, and some went to KL, different places. So you are the only one who came back. So glad that you are back with us. So I'm not sure if you heard of this song, Still Waiting at the Door. It's on the internet. I recently come across this song. It's quite interesting and quite nice. I like the lyrics. I like the rhythm of the song. You talk about a father. The lyrics say that I built our home with bleeding hands, work hard for the family, and at the end, the wife and the son left him. So he talked about the second stanza, you wore your cap, talking about the son putting on the cap when she's probably his kindergarten, and I fixed your tie as you grow older, graduate. Watch you chase your dreams and fly. The son want to pursue dreams further, went overseas to studies. And I gave you wings, I stayed behind. But now you're gone, and so is time. The kid singing, repeating the chorus, I'm still waiting at the door. Talking about father, work hard for the family, providing for the family. And but the wife left him, and the son went overseas to studies. It really sounds quite a sad song. He talk about the father, now I just talk to an empty sky. Probably I don't think you have reached the stage where you've got empty nest, not for me also, but I think we can feel much for this elderly father who have done so much for the family, worked hard for the family, but at the end, the child left to pursue his own dream, leaving a father behind, looking to an empty sky, still waiting for the son to come back. I think this song resonates with what we read today about the 10 lepers. 10 of them received the blessing from God, and only one came back. Someone say, what if your greatest spiritual danger isn't rebellion, but indifference? What if the greatest sign of spiritual health isn't what you receive from God, but whether you return to Him? I think the greatest so-called our spiritual danger is our being indifference. Because sometimes being indifferent, we don't feel a thing. We just, who cares? We just move on with our life. And sometimes it's not just about praying, asking God for things. We do pray and ask God for things, but it's how you return to Him. Today, the 10 lepers, we're going to talk about these 10 lepers. Only one came back. And what made him so different compared to the rest? The first point, the gospel of the nine lepers, they experienced a miracle but missed the Savior. In the beginning, we read the text to say that when Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. I think in our modern days, we seldom see leprosy around us. But in the olden days, during Jesus' time, what is leprosy? It was kind of illness with bacteria that affects the skin with a sore or with a rash initially. And then this rash just spread across the body. Travels to the nerve system, spreading to the eyes, the hands, and the legs. You're able to see the picture, it's quite gross. Huh? And this bacteria enters the bone and the ligament, causing the finger to shrink and like a claw looking like fingers. And the whole body began to shrivel. And very often the lepers would lose his finger because the nerve system is being damaged and he don't feel the pain. The danger when the hand was in a fire or in a hot water. Because the nerve system was being damaged. And not just that, the bacteria also destroy the eyes, causing blindness, penetrate the gum, causing the teeth to fall, and the nose just in disintegrate. You see, the whole face of the leper will be deformed. When lepers, they got skin sores, it won't heal by itself. So you can smell a leper because of the sore of the skin, it can't heal by itself. If you got so-called like an infection sometime, you can smell your own skin. There is a certain smell of it. So whenever lepers come, you can smell the rotten meat. If you watch the TV series, The Walking Dead, I believe you probably watch it. You see the zombies walking around with all the face. It's quite eerie. So lepers were very much like zombies. So much feared by everyone because it's contagious. And of his horrific looks. And also, it was incurable during that time. So when once someone have leprosy, he don't just suffer physically. I think more so he suffer emotionally. Yeah, thanks. The lepers have to leave the family and community because of this infectious condition. And once he leave them, the family and the community, he can't join them. So can you imagine how lonely you can be and how unbearable to leave your family, your loved one, your community? They live apart from the society and they live together and cluster together with the rest of the lepers. They could not attend any ceremony, any festivals of the Jews, and they were total outcasts of the society. Therefore, we see these lepers, 10 of them gather together. Whenever they go, they have to shout, unclean, unclean. That's why when we read the sentence or read the verse, they say that when they saw Jesus, they somehow or other, they heard about Jesus. They wanted to seek help from this Jesus, but they can only stand from afar, stood at a distance and shout. What did they shout? They say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The word master is a respectful title, someone who holds the authority. So they recognize Jesus as a master, probably a miracle worker. They see that probably they heard about Jesus who have healed many people, they healed the lame, the weak. So they see Jesus as a miracle worker. But when you want to seek help from someone else, I'm not sure how do you feel when you approach someone to seek help. Normally you think that you can have something to offer back in order that so that the person help you, you can appreciate the person in some way, with gift, with meals, whatever thing. But when you approach Jesus during that moment, what do the lepers have in order to seek help? What do the lepers have in order to seek help? They were the lepers. They were at the lowest. Thanks. It's okay. Yeah, I can drink it also. The lepers were at the lowest of the the society status. They got no social standing, no connection, no wealth. And when they approach Jesus, what can they ask Jesus for help? I think the lepers knew all these things. That's why when they asked for help, they asked for mercy. Mercy. In Chinese, the word is 可怜. Probably, I think it's stronger. I'm not sure when you approach help from someone else, do you use such a word, 可怜? 秉轩,你可以可怜可怜我吗? 我中午没有饭吃. Will you use the word 可怜,可怜? I don't think we use such a word. Because it just put us so low to the point that you really don't have the dignity at all. When you approach someone else, you won't use the word 可怜我. Only probably beggars will do that. If you come across beggars, or they ask, only 可怜,可怜我. For us, it feels a lot of shame. It just throw away your dignity. When you seek help from someone else, you wouldn't use such a word because you still have something that you think that you can offer back to that person, whoever helped you. But when we come before God, what do you think that you have when God bless you or given you that you can respond back? Your status, your wealth, your ability, whatever. Actually, we don't have anything to offer back to God, and God don't need us also. That's why when the lepers come before Jesus, they ask for mercy, pity. It's not about the social status. It's not about the ability. It's not even being a Jew that they can ask mercy for. So they knew this, And the only thing they plead for is mercy. And mercy was just enough. Because mercy was given to those who are undeserving. It is the only hope we have on the merciful of God. And Jesus, we know how Jesus responds to them. Jesus did not heal them on the spot. Instead, he asked them, go and show yourself to the priest. It was a requirement during that time in the Old Testament. The priest acts as a local health inspector. So that when whoever got skin diseases, not all lepers, whoever have skin diseases, the priest will, in a way, check whether are you completely healed to go back to the community so that you won't infect others. So likewise, Jesus asked them to go to the priest to declare that you're clean. But take note, when Jesus said that, they were not healed at the moment. They're still not healed. Obviously, when they travel to the priest, they are still having the leprosy. When Jesus told them to go to show themselves to the priest, this is actually a faith journey. Nothing had happened yet. And they just trusted Jesus at his word and went to the priest. And along the journey to the priest, probably something miraculous happened. The toes being healed, the fingers being straightened, the sores on the body just vanished. And they become more and more amazed and wonder what really had happened to them. They were completely healed of leprosy by the time when they reached the priest, so that the priest can declare they are clean to go back. Remember, leprosy was incurable during Jesus' time. So when they show their body to the priest, they must be very amazed and excited because they are being healed of leprosy. I'm not sure. When you have a heavy illness, critical illness, what's the first thing you do once you recover from it? I'm not sure how long have you stayed in hospital. Anybody have got the longest record other than Hwai Un's dad, who stayed for a number of months? Anybody stay longer in hospital, longer than that? 2 months, 3 months? Probably. How many months? Not sure. When you're in critical illnesses, you're in hospital, you're being bound to hospital. When you're being healed, because in the hospital you're not able to eat anything, any solid food, you're on drip, you're being bound to the hospital. When you're being healed, you're recovered, discharged. What's the first thing you like to do? Probably go and eat your favorite food. Probably go and visit someone. Go back to your family. I guess these lepers, when they are being healed, when they reach the priest, the first thing came to their mind is to see their loved one, their family, their wives, their children. My second son went to Beijing for a few days for exchange program. I miss him when I go and pick him up from the airport. I just hug him. Just a few days away, I just miss him. I just hug him. I love to hug my children. So, what's the first thing when you're recovered from whatever illnesses? Probably your family. Things that you miss out during when you're ill. I think in human terms, there's nothing wrong to go back to see our families once we recover. Yeah. These 9 lepers, they had experienced a miracle. Their body are restored. But are their heart really transformed? To these 9 lepers, this healing was a miraculous, a most wonderful thing had happened to them for their whole life. Therefore, the most important thing right now is go back to see their loved one. I think they are grateful to Jesus. Definitely they are grateful to Jesus. But I don't think they are grateful enough to make changes to their plan, to detour from their way home, to return to Jesus and thank him. They're definitely grateful, but I don't think they're grateful enough to make a change in their plan. You see, they knew the right thing to say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They obeyed the right command to go to see the priest, but none of them returned. Why is it so? To the 9 lepers, Jesus was great, but their newfound life, their new life where they have recovered from leprosy was even greater than Jesus. With their restored body, there are so much things to do. There's so much experience they have missed out. They want to get it back. I think they just raced back to their second chance life. I'll return to my family. I'll go partying. I'll rebuild my career I missed over the years. I'm single. Right now, I can go back to the community. I can get married. I can have 3,000 generation. Is it, Isabel? That's a wish for you. They all rush back to reclaim the life they have lost over the years. And they miss out the one that Jesus gave. So in the overwhelming of the joy, they miss out the one who really healed them. I think a story was told that a man had a critical illness. He was so fearful of it that the whole church prayed for him. And over time, he just prayed to God, God, if you heal me, I'm willing to offer you my life. Use it so that I can glorify you. At the end, God really healed him. But once he got healed, he returned to his own life, drifted away from his faith. I'm just too busy living. And much more years later, when he got older, the critical illness returned. And on the deathbed, he wept, I have missed God. I thank all the doctors, but not the greatest physician of all. You see, we all want benefits, we all want blessing from God, but without the person of Jesus. The nine lepers got what they really want for in their life, and they just move on living without Jesus. They saw healing only as a means to return to the life that they want to. But is that all? I think most of us in the modern world, what is gospel that means to us? Gospel is something that when God hears my prayer, when God heals me, and this is what the nine lepers gospel mean to them. God is only my spiritual emergency service. I don't think about Him daily. Only when something breaks, my health, my studies, my family, when all these things break, when I can't do well in my tests, then I call 995, then I call God to help me. And this is exactly what the 10 lepers did. They only cried out to God when they were in crisis. When Jesus responded to them, the 9 disappeared once the crisis is over. It raises a question, do I want God Himself or do I just want Him to fix my life? Second, if I'm respectful and religious when I needed to be, God should reward me. I say my prayer, I read my Bible, I did my church attendance, I did what I suppose a Christian is supposed to do. Shouldn't God bless me? And sometimes we have such thoughts in our mind. The 9 lepers followed the instruction of Jesus. They did what Jesus told them, to go and see the priest. But only one returned, not out of obligation, but an overflowing gratitude and awe. Gospel isn't a reward system. It is a relationship. It's not that you did something good and God rewarded you. It is that, but it's not just that. But it is a relationship. What is gospel to the 9 lepers? God's job is to improve my life and not to interfere with it. I wanted to be healed, but I do not want to bow down. I want blessing, but I do not want surrendering. Only one leper fell down before Jesus to worship. The other go back to their life, back to normal, career, family, society. But gospel isn't just returning back to normal. It's about recentering our life in Jesus. I believe in Jesus only when He works. If He answers, I'll believe. If He doesn't, then I just move on with my life. Don't waste time, keep praying. This is the kind of transactional faith. Faith depends only on result. Whether you get what you want, then you trust God more. If you do not get, then you just move on in life. The 9 experienced external healing, but they miss out the internal transformation. One last one, Jesus is the chapter, is only a chapter in my life, not the author of it. I went through hard time. Jesus helped me, but now I'm back writing my own story. The 9 resumed to their life, perhaps with a little bit of gratitude, but without devotion. I think they should be thankful, but their heart is not devoted to Jesus. Only the one who reoriented his life around the person of Jesus. not just the power of Jesus. The question back to you is back to you. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Do you only go to Him when you're in crisis? I think true, but is it just that? Do you only go to Him only when you need benefits from Him? Do you only go to Him when you got exam tomorrow? Or just simply for who He is? The 9 lepers got their benefits. They experienced a great miracle, but they missed the Savior. So the only one who returned is the least expected one. The gospel of the one. He turned back, and not just to say thanks, but to fall down in worship. The verse says that the one who came back, among these 10 lepers, only one returned. I think when this one leper saw the rest and he himself was healed, I believe that he was amazed simply as the rest. He was also excited with his new life. He wanted to go back to his family. He wanted to go back to hug his children. But he began to think and process, is that all? And what does this mean when I'm being healed? Think about all the implications of being well and you were able to go back to your family and friends with a brand new life. I think he saw more than all this. He may wonder, who is this person who healed me? There must be something more than his power. He recognized that he had been in the presence of God. And he wanted more than just physical healing. He wanted a relationship with Jesus. And that's why he returned. You see, the verse is saying that he turned back. The word turn back is very critical in Christian faith. You talk about repentance. Anyone who comes to God cannot go without repentance. What is repentance? What is turning? It is when we are walking one direction, we change a change in direction. change in direction. We have to change our direction if we really follow Christ. The 9 of the lepers pursue their own life without changing their direction. Not just changing direction, he said that he praising God with a loud voice. The word loud voice in the Bible is explained as mega voice. In a loud mega voice. Do you know in the past, lepers had to shout out unclean, unclean, so that the rest will shun from them. But right now, he's shouting another thing. He's praising God in his loudest of his voice. It's different kind. In the past, it's a kind of shame shouting unclean. But right now, he's shouting praises to God. It's a very different expression of change of life. And not just shout. When he returned to Jesus, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. This is a posture of worship. A posture of worship. True gratitude will end up in a posture of worship. Why? Worship is not just about saying thanks. It is also our submission before a holy God. Recognize God's authority all over our life. Jesus is not just a miracle worker, but he is also the Lord of all. You see, when we are truly grateful to God, all our affection will slowly turn away from the world to God. And one key thing, if any gratitude that doesn't end in worship, it may slowly become consumer spirituality. I got what I want, then I get back to my own life. I think one very interesting statement here at the end of this verse, it ends with verse 16, now he was a Samaritan. I think this part here, it builds suspense. As the author was describing what this one leper came back, did such a miracle, did such a wonderful things. Then suddenly, he ended with this statement, now he was a Samaritan. It put us in a suspense and wonder, why did Luke want to say this thing over here? Giving us a bit of historical background, we know that Samaritan is a mixed breed between the Assyrian and the Jews. Assyrians had conquered Israel before, and so during the occupation, they had intermarried with the Jews. So Jews have a mixed blood of Assyrian, and that's why they're called Samaritan. Assyrian was the enemy of the state. If you have children of their generation, these are not accepted. Just like during Japanese occupation, if the Japanese soldier rape a local woman and they give birth to a son with a mixed blood of Japanese and Chinese, the mom will try to keep quiet, not to declare that, because they're going to cause community hatred towards the son, because it brings shame. Nobody likes a mixed breed, especially in the Jewish context. Purity is the key thing, it's a tradition. They want everything to be pure, to be set apart. So having a mixed blood, having a Jew with a Syrian blood, enemy blood flow inside, is just totally unacceptable. So that's why Jews and Samaritans, they don't have any association. So when Luke ended here, now he was a Samaritan, is confronting their soldier, their culture norm. He was supposed to be an outcast. And not just outcast, he was supposed to be an outcast of an outcast, because he was a leper, he's an outcast, and more so, he is a Samaritan leper, an outcast among the outcasts. The only reason he can mingle with the Jews is because he's a leper. That's why he's qualified to mingle with the Jews. But what is God trying to, what is Jews, Luke trying to say here? With all the great things that he has done, but he was such a lowly person, he does not deserve the grace of God, and yet God healed him and loved him. He helped us to see the love of God that transcends social norm or over cultural status. Among these 10 lepers, the least expected one, a Samaritan leper, turned back and worshiped God. And the last point, the gospel Jesus offered. It heals deeper than the skin and touches the soul. At the end of it, Jesus said, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." I think the translation is not as good as the Chinese one. The Chinese is very straightforward. That's why the word "made you well" is not talking about physical wellness. I think the root word of the Greek is sozo, which means God save you, or God save the person being well. It implies eternal salvation and not just a physical restoration. The 9 lepers got only temporary relief, but the only one outsider got eternal salvation, redemption. The Samaritan saw more than just a miracle. He saw a savior. I think one last thing we want to talk about this leprosy. We want to remember we are also once a leper. Spiritually, we are a spiritual leper. In those days, people who suffered from leprosy, they were given a life sentence. There was no cure and no hope of healing. And sin is the same. We are incurable for our own sin. No amount of self-effort can cleanse us. No moral improvement can save us to free us. Left to ourselves, we just wither in our corruption. We just rot on our own. Leprosy desensitizes a person's ability to feel the pain. It just numbs the nerve system so that he don't feel the pain of it when he's in danger. When the finger is on the fire, he don't feel the pain because it numbs the nerve system. I think sin works the same likewise. It numbs our heart, it numbs our conscience, making us lesser and lesser sensitive to guilt, that we didn't even feel the weight of sin in our own life. Leprosy, in a way, isolate them from the rest of the community, ban them, force them to live in isolation, cut off from their family, from worship, for everything that gave them life. Likewise, sin also isolates us from God and also damages our relationship with others. And more so, it distorts our own sense of self. As we think about this physical leprosy, at least a leper still scream for healing because he can see the source over the body. But I think for us as a sinner, we do not see the sins hidden in us. We do not see the sins of the source inside our souls, because we forgot that we are sick also. A Samaritan came back because he realized not just his weakness, the greatest miracle, but he realized he was standing before God. And that's why he came back. I think, are we grateful to what God has done for us? Especially those who are born in second and third generation Christian. We are so used to all these things. about God saving us. Sometimes we are grateful, but sometimes we are not grateful enough to make changes to our plan because we forgot about the love of God that has saved us. Gratefulness will result in two things. One thing, gratefulness will result us in worship. We'll worship God for who He is, not just for what He gave us. Gratefulness will result us in worship. In worship, you surrender before Him, before His authority. Second thing, gratefulness will result us in service. Response to God because of His love, and therefore we're willing to serve Him and serve people. Serving people is never easy because it's always tsiliputaha, and some of the time it can be really hurting also. But that's what God calls us to do. If we really are grateful for Him, we are willing to step out to serve Him. In the end, I'm going to close with this story. This is a true story. It's a movie being made. I think probably if you have, I'm not sure whether you watched it before, they call it The 33. It's a real-life event. It happened in Chile when a gold and a copper mine collapsed. It trapped 33 miners underground for 69 days. They are buried underneath for 700 meters. And that's why it makes the rescue so difficult, because in the history before for the mine rescue, never happened. There are people being buried so deep before. It's so extremely hard, and the rock was extremely hard, making the drill very difficult and slow, and more so very risky, because any part of the drill which drilled wrongly will cause further collapse, and we just endanger the life of the miners and the rescue team. The drilling required precision to avoid triggering rock falls. And the miners only got 2 days of food to eat, and the water inside the mine is polluted. Experts during that time gave up saving them because they see it as impossible. They will either starve or suffocate before help arrived. But yet the family of these 33 miners went for a strike, demanding the company to send help to help their loved one inside. And they endured inside the mine, being trapped there for 69 days. And the rescue was totally a miracle. So in this story, it talk about how people, these 33 was buried inside. While they're being trapped inside, the miners form a prayer group because they are all Christians and Catholic. So they form a prayer group to pray inside the mine. So some of them testified that they felt the presence of God in the darkness. When they're able to drill a small hole through to let the air go in, to pass water and food, they also send down Bibles so that they can read and could put their hope in God. When they are totally rescued from this mine, 33 miners came up and gave public thanks. Several miners spoke about their faith, and one of them, called Jose, led devotion underground and later said, God was with us. So this guy called Jose was called as a pastor. He led devotion when they are being trapped inside. Yet after many months later, when they return, they're being rescued, all these 33 miners return back to their old lives, leaving little room for faith that they clung on underground. One of them called Mario was one of the most vocal about faith initially, later admitted that he stopped going to church, saying that life just moved on. Several miners who promised to God, if God really saved them, they want to devote their life to God. And none of them followed through. One of them called Franklin was a former soccer player, struggled with alcohol and also depression after the rescue. He got a mistress and a wife. He went back to a very chaotic life. And then many miners, after being rescued, they were being asked for TV appearances. They were being interviewed, being paid for the interviews. But very few of them mentioned about God during the interview. Several of them have vowed they will live differently if God really saved them. But life just went back to normal. So who are you in this story? Are you the 9 lepers who just got being blessed by God and just move on in life? Do you want God more of God's help than God himself? God is only a call line for you. Remember, these lepers were outcasts. Jesus also became the outcast, nailed on the cross, being cursed, so that he can save the lepers and can save you and me. We're going to come before the Lord in worship right now. I'm going to invite the worship team. We're going to sing this song, Thank You for the Cross. I invite you as you sing, don't just mumble the lyrics. I think sing your heart of worshiping God. You were once a leper. You were once incurable. But God had paid for you on the cross. In order you can come before Him. Let's rise.